to participate, because this morning is not just another message, it's a message that I want eyes contact. I want to see your eyes, I want to see that you are contact, I understand what I'm saying, because if you don't understand what I'm saying, I will repeat myself again and again and again, so that we can all be on the same page. Amen? I can hear you. Amen? Thank you very much. Let's get excited. Okay? Easter is a time not just of sadness. There's nothing to be said about it, because God himself killed his own son. Okay? It wasn't just the Romans or the Pharisees. God already knew of time when Adam and Eve committed the great treason. God himself already had a plan of the seed. Right? Of the seed. 6,000, 7,000 years ago. So, at the end of the day, it wasn't just the Romans or the Pharisees or the tradition who killed Jesus Christ, but it was God himself killed himself. Are you on the same page? Can you see what I'm saying? See, God had a plan thousands of years before that God himself had to die to show the world that he loved us. So, we are in a win-win. We can never fail. God already is predestinated in many ways, but we also must walk the walk, that God wanted the world to be saved. Even so, that Adam and Eve betray God. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen? So, now let's bring back these two. I want to bring a little bit for people that have never heard the message about the cross. Why the cross is not much relevant to Australia as much as it used to be in the past. The cross to Christians and born-again Christian, it is most powerful sign that any Christian in any other world we can actually see and feel. The cross is it. The cross is a three-prong meaning. Three-prong. Number one, God's love for us. The cross represents God's love for us. Amen? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Thank you very much. So that we, as his followers, can love others. Amen? So it's not just one way, it is two way. His love to us, our love to the world. That's the cross. The second thing, what the cross symbolizes, is God the servant. God is the love. God, Jesus Christ, come to serve. Why? So because he served us, we'll be able to serve the world. Amen? That's number two. Number three, God came to redeem us. You said, redeem us. I can hear you. Redeem us. He came to redeem us or to save us. To make it a bit more plainly. He came to save us. Save us from us. Condemnation. See, we were separated. We were separated from God from the moment that Adam and Eve betrayed God. We separated. But then God already knew through the cross, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, by the way, that's his real name in Jewish name, because Jesus Christ, by the way, is a Jew. He wasn't a Roman, even so I'm Italian. He wasn't a South American or even a New Yorker. He was a Jew. Amen? So his name is Yeshua Mashiach. Just to let you know, if you don't know, that's his name. But nevertheless, Jesus Christ came to save us or redeem us from condemnation and from total separation of eternal life. So there are the three basic foundation of Christianity. Jesus Christ, the cross, came, again, first to love us, second to serve us, and third to save us. Very basic. See, the gospel is a very basic. It's so basic. Now, let me go back, and now that I gave you in a nutshell the three-pronged meaning of Easter, the cross, I want to go through some scripture, and I'm trying to do this as quick, but sometimes as fully as we can. Okay, in the book of Luke 23, verse 13, I'll give you a scenario. Jesus was arrested by the Pharisees. He was brought before Pilate. And Pilate, the Pharisees brought him there because the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus Christ. They didn't like him. He was radical for them. He brought too many things that they did not believe. So they brought him before Pilate. And with that, let's go to, I'll read it for verse 13. Pilate called the people together with the leading priests and the rulers. 14. He said to them, "You brought this man to me, saying he makes trouble among your people." I'm reading a New Century Translation, by the way. It's different over there. "But I have questioned him before you, and listen to this now, and I have not found him guilty of what you say. And also, Herod found nothing wrong with him. He sent him back. Okay, number one thing. Jesus was not guilty. He have not sinned. He have done nothing wrong to deserve death. The Pharisees wanted to kill him and eliminate him. But he was an innocent man. He was not guilty. He has done nothing wrong. He was pure and innocent as we can be, as he can be. But the Pharisees wanted to kill him. Let's go on. Let's jump. And then they said, the Pharisee says, "No, kill him, kill him, kill him." Pilate said, "We'll beat him. Let's whip him." They brought him back. He was bleeding. He was practically half dead. And then Pilate says, "Can we free him now?" And they say, "No, kill him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." But then he said, "He's done nothing wrong. Why do you want to kill him?" That's humanity, isn't it? Always pointing the finger at somebody else. He was an innocent man, and the Pharisees wanted to kill him. Let's go on. Then he goes on here and says, oh, my tears are burning my eyes. Thank you for that. Praise God. Let's go on here. But in verse 15, he said, "Also, Herod found nothing wrong with him, and he sent him back." So verse 16, "So after I punish him, I will let him go free." Verse 17, "Every year at the Passover feast, Pilate had to release one prisoner amongst the people. But the people said, 'Free Barabbas and crucify Jesus.'" Free Barabbas. Barabbas was a criminal. He had murdered people. He had committed a great crime. But the Pharisees and the Jewish people at that time chose to free a criminal and punish an innocent man. Amen? That's the heart of man when there is no God. See, we are by nature sinful people. Amen? Everybody, from the day you're born, by nature we are sinful. That's why God sent the cross. Let's go on. Verse 26. "As they led Jesus away, Simon, a man from Cyrene, was coming from the fields. They forced him to carry Jesus' cross and to walk behind him." Let's jump on to verse 33. "When they come to a place called Skull, the soldier crucified Jesus and the criminals, one on his right hand, one on his left hand. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing.'" Isn't amazing love? Isn't an amazing grace? Even so, that he was innocent and pure and perfect in every way. Even so, that they condemned him to death. He, at the cross, said, "Father, Abba, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, because they do not know the evil hearts. I'm letting them do things they don't even know." That is called amazing grace. Amen? That is called amazing love. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. We are so thankful. We should be so thankful over Papa God. Then let's keep going. It gets better and better all the time. "Then the soldiers threw lots to decide what would get his cloth. Verse 35. The people stood there watching, and the leaders made fun of Jesus, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God, chosen one, the Christ." The soldiers also made fun of him, coming to Jesus and offering him some vinegar. Okay, let's get something straight here. Jesus was crucified, nailed down 6-inch long nail, probably rusty nail, in his hands and in his feet. The cross necessarily is not like that. That's very high. The true story, if you not understand the Jewish culture, see, crucifixion came from the Romans. The Romans invented crucifixion, all right? But it was imposed onto the nations of Israel. And many Jewish people died on the cross. But the cross is actually, yes, it is a cross, but it's very low. The cross was only about 1 or 2 feet away from the ground. Not like as we see it, quite high at the top. The reason why the cross was right there on the ground, so that people can go by through the person who's being crucified and can spit on him. Now, if the cross was so high, you cannot spit at the person. So the cross is actually quite low, and it's obviously stretched out enough to put the nails in the wrist, by the way, not hands, and on his 2 feet together. So when people cross by, they can go there, mock at the person, whoever that be, not only mock him, laugh, but spit at him, and confess profane names upon him, the Son of God. And the Pharisees, the priests, the pastors, the ministers at that time mocked at him and laughed at him and smashed his face. They can practically do anything to him. An innocent man, God himself, the creator of heaven and earth, that died on the cross to save us and to redeem us back to his Father. He was mocked. He was laughed. He was spit at. The beard, they pulled the beard out of his face. That's what the book of Isaiah says, 52. They pulled his beard out of his face. He understood what pain was all about. Church, I'm bringing the cross to you. It wasn't an easy thing for God to die. But he had to die. Nobody took Jesus' life. Jesus gave his life away purposely. Purposely. He wanted to. Why? Because his love for us. For you and I. Amen? And there we are. We, humanity, come across the cross, see God, love, and we spit at him. We beat him. We say profane words against him. The Son of God, pure love, perfect in every way. We are evil in our hearts, family. Humanity is evil without Christ. So as they went there, they beat him and spit in his face. And as it was not enough, feeling the pain, Jesus said, "Forgive them, Lord. Have mercy upon them, Father God, Abba Father, because they don't know what they're doing. Have mercy upon them." Can you feel God's love? And then, towards the end, when everybody laughed at him, spit at him, pulled his beard, the crown got deep in his skull, the back was totally scarred, he was bleeding and dying, he's suffocating because he could not lift himself up, so he could not breathe. Just identify yourself with that. What Jesus Christ, our Savior, had to do to come to the place that you and I are now. Let's not take it for granted. I'm stressing this today because it is Easter. The cross. And to make things worse, the Romans were playing with dice. They stripped him naked on the left with his undies maybe, if any. And brought shame to the Son of God. Laughed at him. Can you see that, church? And then They had a stick with a sponge full of vinegar. You must understand, church, that was the ultimate price. Because that sponge with a stick in a Jewish culture, if I tell you, there were public toilets in Israel at the time. They went with a curtain made of animal skins. You go inside there and you go and do your business. Right? There were halls and people go there, do their business. And then on the back, there was another curtain and there were people with a stick. In that stick, there was a sponge. There's no toilet paper in those days, you know? And with a stick with a sponge, they used to stick it on the vinegar and then clean people's bottom to wash the backside. And with that, because of the vinegar, they can clean up the germs or whatever, they put on a bucket. And what the Romans did, that brought the filthiest things that anybody can even dream or imagine. They took the bucket that they used to clean people's bottom and they gave it to Jesus, the Son of God. Humanity is evil. And they try to drink from the people's poo. That's what you are to us. That's what we did to Jesus. You and I. And Jesus turned his face because he knew. He intensifies and say, that's it. It is over. Father, he cried out, Father, take my spirit. It is finished. No more. No more pain. No more suffering. No more shame. They brought me to nothing. And they gave his spirit. And he went. That is the cross. Do you realize, family, what it meant? What it did for us 2,000 years ago? The Son of God and the Son of Man came to guide everything. God's love for us, he came to love us. He came to serve us. And he came to share the gospel and bring us back, to redeem us back to his Father. But he had to go through all this in the cross. I'm proud of the cross. That's why I carry it with me every day. I have two crosses. One, the big cross, represents Jesus Christ. The little cross is I and is you. Because I'm not ashamed of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the power of God of salvation. I'm not ashamed of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the power of God of salvation for anyone who believes, Jews first and also Gentiles. And we as Christians, born again, filled of the Spirit of God, should be proud of the cross. And today, as most people in this nation go to have fun and holiday, maybe 90% of our people, Jesus died for them too. Don't despise them, but love them. Serve them and share the gospel to them. And if the church is not full today, and many other churches around Australia are not full today, we must ask why. He did everything he had to do. Can I have Jed, please, come and sit down over there. I want to give you some physical eye-to-eye contact experience. And I just sit down, please, sir. By the way, Jaid is one of my colleagues from work. I asked him to come to church. Praise God, he got lost. But he got here a bit late. But I praise God, he made it. Jaid is from New Zealand. We love Kiwis. Amen? Praise God. Now, where's the Janet, can you please come sit there for me? I'm going to give you an example so you can understand what I'm talking about. So we know that God, Jesus Christ, came to love us so that we can love others. He came to serve us. Let's go in John 12, 24. John 12, 24, please. Bear with me. Are you still awake? Come on, say hallelujah. I can hear you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's get excited. 12. John 12. What did I say it was? Verse 24. I tell you the truth. A grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die to make many seeds. But if it never dies, it remains only a single seed. 25. Those who love their lives will lose them. But those who hate their lives in this world will keep true life forever. 26. Whatever serves me must follow me. Then my servant will be with me everywhere I am. My Father will honor anyone who serves me. Jesus came to serve so that we, you and I, can serve others. Amen? Amen. Anybody sleeping today? If you do, I've got a bottle of water and I will baptize you again. Amen. I'll do it. I've done it before. So keep you awake. So we've got two God's creations. Amen. I can assume, and I can't really assume anything. I don't know. They could be saved. I know that some are saved. Some not might be saved. Maybe both of them are saved. I'm a stranger, assuming, okay? So that's God's creation. Now, in the scripture, let me see, John, over here. Yeah, John 13. I won't give you the verse yet, but it's John 13. It was a scenario of Passover. The Passover is Easter. The Jewish people call it Passover because of time of Moses. The Israelites were in Egypt under bondage for 410 years. And then Moses, of the last judgment of God against the Egyptians and the Pharaoh about killing the firstborn son of every Egyptian. So Moses told all of the Jewish people to kill a little lamb. Pure, perfect lamb representing Christ. Passover and the cross is the same thing. Okay? It just happened 4,000 years, nearly 4,000 years in gap, 2,900 years in the gap. But Passover represents the cross. It's symbolic. It's the same thing. The blood around the doors, frame of the pure lamb that was perfect. Jesus Christ crucified, the blood of Jesus, so that we can be saved. Amen? So at the time of Passover, just before his crucifixion, Jesus told the disciple, go upstairs and let's go and have the Last Supper together, Passover together. And the first thing he did, would you mind taking your shoes off? What is the thing? Over there, thank you, my dear. The first thing he did, he came to serve, right? Are you with me? This is what the robber missed it all, friends. The first thing he did, he took his robe, representing his authority and his power. He put it aside, and then he had a towel around his waist, like this. My pants are too tight. And then, symbolically, he went to Peter and he washed his feet, humbling himself before men. The Son of God, who died on the cross, God himself, came to be a servant. How more can God Himself do to prove to you and I, sinners, washed the feet full of poo and dirt? There were no highways with bitumen or concrete in those days. There were dirt little track full of animal poo and filth. Are you with me? Are you on the same page? I can hear you. God Himself came to wash the filth of humanity. And He made no difference. Born again, saved, not saved, black and white, yellow, slaves, free, children, made no difference. And He went on and went on. Peter says, Lord, why on earth do you want to do this? And He told him, shut up, Peter, because you don't understand what I'm doing. One day you will understand. Be quiet. And then went on, and went on. Just put your feet there, love. And He went and washed the feet. Who knows? And then dry His feet. You know, that could have been you at that time. There could have been a prostitute. Jesus would have washed the feet, wouldn't he? To the prostitute. He proved himself many times. He could have been a slave. Slaves, anybody that is in bondage is a slave, isn't it? It could have been somebody righteous, like a Pharisee. They believed they were saved. Or could it be maybe a sinner that had never heard the gospel before? It could be anyone. Can you see? And God Himself came all the way from heaven to show us that He is a servant. And it goes on like this. Verse 13, 4. 12. Is that 12, 4? Let me check again, please. Yeah, 13. I'm not going to lick my fingers. And then it says, verse 4. So during the meal, Jesus stood up and took off His outer clothing, take a towel, He wrapped around His waist, then He poured out water in a bowl and began to wash the followers' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around Him. Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, Lord, how are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but you will understand later. Jesus answered, if I don't wash your feet, you are not one of my people. You're not one of mine. Then verse 12. When He has finished washing their feet, He put on His cloth and sat down again. He asked, do you understand, church? Look at me. Do you understand? What I have just done for you. Do you understand what I did for you? You call me teacher, rabbi, and Lord. And you are right. Because that is what I am. Your teacher, your rabbi, and your Lord, Adonai. If I, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Rabbi, has washed your feet, you say also, say it again, also, should wash each other's feet. I tell you the truth, a servant is not greater than a master. A messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know those things, you will be blessed if you do them. Family, Mishpoha, do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? Can we say it all together in one accord? Yes. Make a statement. Be convinced in what you're saying, for what you stand, what you believe, your faith. Yes. We want to be blessed, not for selfish reason only, so we can be a blessing to the world. Amen? I can hear you. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm not shy. I'm not shy. You are not shy either. You're just tired. So that's the second reason. Jesus Christ came, God Himself, creator of heaven and earth, our Master, Lord and Creator, came to serve us so that we can serve others. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. John 13, verse 4 and 6. 4 and 6. Go back. What does it say? 13. Is that 13? Yep. Just double check. 13, 4 and 6. No, we've done that. The one before, John 12, 24 and 26. Yep. Let's read that again. Yes. Whatever serves me must follow me. Then my servant will be with me forever. And my Father will honor anyone who serves me. We've done that. Praise God. Now, God came, Jesus Christ, to redeem us. That's number three. Okay, that's the cross. First, to love us. Then, I keep forgetting, but I look to serve us and then to redeem us or to be born again. Amen? And that's the last bit here. Let's go through this. So, God, Jesus Christ, came to save us so that we, through us, God, Jesus Christ, can serve the world. Amen? You two can put your shoes back on again. Thank you for that. Bless you for that. I just wanted to make sure that my brother and sister here today understood what it means to serve. Okay. John 4, 42. Let's go to John 4, 42. Amen. Are you still with me? Okay. John 4, 42. The double check, yep, John 4, 42, it goes like this. They said to the woman, first, we believe in Jesus because of what you said. He's talking about the woman in the well story. But now we believe because we heard him ourselves. That's the rest of the people in the village, of the women in the well. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Amen? Jesus Christ is the Savior or Redeemer of the world. So He came to save us, so that Him, through us, came to save the world. Amen? Another scripture. Acts 5:31. Acts 5:31, and with that, we're doing well. We're doing very well. Acts 5. Thank you, Jesus. 31. There it is. And it goes like this. Verse 31. Jesus is the one whom God raised to be on his right hand side. As leader and savior, through him all people could change their hearts and lives and have their sins forgiven. Jesus Christ is our savior, our redeemer. They came to love us, to forgive us, to be a servant and to save us so that we, through us, we can save the world. So family, there is many more other scriptures you can go. Acts 13, 23, Philippians 3, 20. But the message of the cross, it is simple. And you and I are the carriers of the cross today. Jesus did everything that he could do and even beyond to give us that love, that servant heart, and the power to be able to preach the gospel to the lost. The three-pronged meaning of the cross that we carry today is God the Father, which is love, God the Son, which is a servant, and got the Holy Spirit, which is the gospel preached around the world today. Amen? God the Father is the love. God the Son, it is the God that it serves us. And God the Holy Spirit is the gospel through the Holy Spirit that will give us the power to bring conviction to the sinners. Amen? That is the message of today. Let's give God a clap offering this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We're excited to be alive. We're excited, Lord, that you sent your Son, and the cross will never die. Amen? Can we all stand up? Please. I tried to make it within the time, and I've done very well, I believe, Brad. Can you now see even clearly our mandate? Can you? Can you see how God loves us? What he had to go through, the humiliation, the pain, the suffering that he had to go through. Is that too much to ask now that we, children of God, born again, Christian of the Spirit of God, we do the same? Is that what Jesus said to the disciples? I'm your teacher, but I come here to serve you. How much more you, my children, should serve others? And this morning, if you have not served humanity, you need to do something about it. If you have not loved humanity, we need to do something about it. And if we have not shared the gospel in practical and in deed, we better do something about it. I presented to you the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as graphic in words and in action as I could. You heard this message? Yes. Have you obtained it? Have you grasped it? Have you took hold of it? Are you running with it? It is in your heart? Are you passionate about this? Are you crazy about telling others of that redemption plan of the cross? So be proud of who you are. We must be proud of who we are. We will not bring shame to Jesus Christ. Let's not be shy. Let's be bold. We have the love of God. We have the certain heart of God. And we have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as musicians come, and praise God, I think I know most of you, but I'm not sure. But I leave this to the Holy Spirit. To this morning, the day of Easter, the day of the crucifixion, as I describe it to you as plainly as I could, we're going to take communion. Very symbolic. For everything I just shared, communion is the stone, the rock, the cornerstone. Communion is practically everything that we believe. Amen? The body, the blood, the life of Christ, God himself. So as we, deacons have given the communion and the beautiful background of music, I want you to reflect. Close your eyes. Because see, when you close your eyes, it brings that atmosphere that is just between you and God. When you open your eyes, you're too busy looking at other people. And when you close your eyes, you look to your inner soul, inner spirit. And this morning, Christians, non-Christians, believers, born again, non-born again, whatever denomination, religion you come from, and make no difference. Because in our Sunday church in heaven, there is no denomination. Hello? There is no denomination in heaven. I don't care if you're a Catholic, a Baptist, a born again, Pentecostal, charismatic, you name it. There is no denomination in heaven. There is only love of God. There's God. That's all it is. God. Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is not Muhammad. His name is not Buddha. Hare Krishna. His name is Jesus. The cross. Never forget that. Jesus is the name. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So this morning, with great conviction, as I presented that cross to you this morning, with great conviction, reflect on the three-pronged cross: God's love, God's servant heart, and God's salvation. And the question you must ask ourselves this morning: what have we done with it? Have we watered down the cross? Have we watered down the cross? Do we want Jesus to die again on the cross? He's paid the price, the ultimate. So, as we, everybody's got eyes shut, minding the business, reflecting on the three-pronged cross, I will ask, for the sake of the gospel, is there anyone here today that needs to come back to Jesus? And if you've never been to Jesus, there is the open door to become a child of God. Why? Because of the cross. Amen? The cross is the door of salvation, of eternal life, of power, of blessing, of anointing. You name it, it's the cross. The rugged cross. And if we can sing Amazing Grace, okay, I know you're not rehearsing it. I know you haven't practiced it. Even if it means only one person does it, I don't care. But we need to sing Amazing Grace. And as we're getting ready to sing Amazing Grace, reflect of your salvation. Reflect of your salvation. Close your eyes. Don't worry what's going on around us. Something will happen. Now, for people that need to come back to God, or people that have never turned to Christ and repent. So I'm talking to two type of people here. One that's never turned to Christ before, and one that used to be follow Christ, but now are lukewarm. What a better time, family. What a great blessing today to humble yourself before God Almighty. Humble ourselves before the cross this morning as the Easter day. Don't be proud. Jesus became the shame so that we would not be proud. So, I'm not rushing now because I've got time. This is the most important moment of history of your life. Thank you. Patient. I am very patient. But even more, God, dead. Papa God, your dad, your father, he's been very patient. He's been waiting for you and I to come to the cross this morning. Come to the cross. This has been uttered through centuries, through the history of Christianity. It's always been the same. Come to the cross, you are sinners. Come to the cross, you that are lukewarm. Your burdens and your hurt, I will carry if you come to the cross. Amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the
sound. Come to the cross.
That saved a
wretch. I don't know if you're saved or you think you're saved. I don't know if you're warm or lukewarm. I don't know if you want to commit yourself and say, Jesus, I come to you again afresh this morning. Is anyone here today wants to come to the cross? Please raise your hand quickly. Is anyone here that wants to recommit themselves to Jesus Christ? Now is the time. Don't be shy. Nobody will bite you. Jesus knows your heart. Well, Jesus, come. Let's sing together one more time.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
communion. Let's take his body, symbolizing his life. Let's take it. Let's take and impart ourselves in his body. The blood of Jesus representing his life. Let's drink together as a family. With thanksgiving in our hearts, knowing what it did for us. Never, ever, never take for granted the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, make sure that you check your heart. Make sure that you've repented from all of your sins. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Is anyone here with the sound of my voice want to pray and ask Jesus? Come forward. Come forward. And we will pray. Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit will fill you with the Spirit and give you eternal life. Amen. Keep singing again. I love it. I'm patient. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Dad. I love you, Holy Spirit.
The Lord has promised good.
Let's sing passion, church. Let's sing with conviction. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Now, the third part of the altar call. Anyone who needs prayer, wants prayer. What a healing, deliverance. You name it. Just ask Jesus to come and heal your body, heal your mind, heal your soul. Come forward and we will pray in the name of Jesus.